just a moment, Philippians chapter 4. Give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flame of breath that calls to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest, to head the master's high behest. The call is given, ye host, arise. Our watchword is evangelize. The glad evangel now proclaim through all the earth in Jesus' name. The word is ringing through the skies, evangelize, evangelize. To dying man of fallen race, make known the gift of gospel grace. The world that now in darkness lies, for we must evangelize. David Livingston became convinced of his mission to reach people in the interior of Africa and introduce them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. David Livingston gave his life to Africa to give them an opportunity to hear the gospel just one time. He said this, he says, I will place no value on anything that I have or possess except in relation to the kingdom of Christ. He said, I will go anywhere provided it is forward. Today we support Brother Joshua Amin. He's in Senegal, West Africa, and there are 14 million people in Senegal. Half of that population are under the age of 18 years of old. It is a country that is 98% Muslim. It's a country that desperately needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also support Brother Jenkins, who's in the Gambia, and he is there, had planted a church, and is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are our missionaries that we support, that we're a part of. You know, when we read the Bible, we have to be aware that the Bible is a missionary book. It's a missionary book. Jesus is the Son of God, and he was a missionary that came to this earth to give life. You know, I love the book of Philippians. We are having a men's Bible study once a month here at our church, and I've been going through the book of Philippians. We're coming to the end now, but I love the book of Philippians. The church at Philippi was such a good church. I mean, they weren't a perfect church, but they were a good church. They loved the Lord. There was no major rebuke that was found in this church. There was no gross sin that was reported in this church. When we study the Bible, we realize that the church at Philippi, they were a poor church. You know, oftentimes we say, well, I would give to missions if I could afford to give to missions. But the Bible says the church at Philippi was a church in deep poverty. They didn't have a lot to give. And yet this church was, they were concerned about their own city. And they were also concerned about the world. And this is why I love this church so much. Because this was such a giving church and a church of compassion and a church that was involved in world evangelism. We want to be like this church this morning. We want to be concerned about people. Let's read it together. Philippians 4, and we'll begin our reading this morning in verse 14 for our Harvest Sunday. I want to just bring a thought to you that you can meditate and think about for this week. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 14 is where we'll begin. The Bible says this, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Verse 16 says, for even in Thessalonica ye said once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory. By Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the blessings that you have given to us. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to worship you in song, to worship you in our giving, to worship you in our attitude and our decisions. And Lord, I pray as we listen to your word this morning that you would convict our hearts and lead us to a place where we are also concerned about the world. We're grateful for the opportunity that you've brought us together. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now. I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. May your word fall on good ground. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us this morning to look at this expression in our Bible. The Bible says in verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need." Before we understand this church and its intention, I think it's important for us to think about the beginning. The beginning. Now, Paul is on his second missionary journey. He is revisiting churches. First verses in Acts 16 teaches us this. Timothy, or Timotheus, has joined him in his journey. They are praying about going to Asia. He is revisiting these churches, and he wants to go to Asia, but the Holy Ghost does not allow this to take place. The Bible says that they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost, and so God closed the door. They attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit once again shuts the door. And so Paul is seeking the Lord, and he's asking God where he should go to plant his next church, his next missionary journey. And then we come to Acts chapter 16 in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Paul wanted to go to Thyatira. God said no. And then Paul receives this message, this vision in the night of a man in Macedonia saying, come over and help us. I believe this, that every nation, every people group should hear the gospel at least one time. And the call of our world today is to come over and help us to hear the gospel of Christ. And so look what the Bible says, Acts 16, if we could turn there, Acts chapter 16. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 10. Acts 16 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuringly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Paul shared that vision with his missionary team, and the Bible says that they set out sail for Macedonia, and they came to Philippi. Philippi, the chief city, was a Roman colony. There were not a lot of Jews in Philippi, and Paul would normally go to the synagogue and he would reason with the Jews, but there was no synagogue in Philippi. And so where does Paul go? Well, the Bible says in verse 13, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira." Isn't that interesting? Paul wanted to originally go to Thyatira, and God says no. And then the first lady he talks to here in Philippi is a woman from Thyatira. Serving the Lord is incredible as we follow the Lord's direction in our life. And the Bible says that she worshiped God and she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. A woman named Lydia was gloriously saved, and she was baptized. And that lady was added here to the church at Philippi. Now, there's a great thought. If you look at this passage of scripture, the Bible says that this lady here, Lydia, she invites Paul and the missionary team to come to her house. And I believe that this is the first church service that takes place in Philippi, and they're worshiping the Lord. But that's not the end of the church at Philippi. There's also a woman who's demon-possessed, and the Bible says that men were abusing her, and God set her free, and she got saved. God was doing great things in Philippi. And the Bible says that the men that were making gain from this woman who was demon-possessed, they didn't like the fact that Paul and Silas came to town to Philippi. And so the Bible says they were taken to the center of the place of the magistrates, and they were beaten and they were cast into an inner prison, and a jailer was responsible for their keeping. Now, this jailer had never taken care of a prisoner quite like the Apostle Paul, that's for sure. And I'm sure that the Apostle Paul was giving this jailer the gospel, and he was telling about the Lord, and they were praying, and they were worshiping God, and they were singing praises. And the Bible says that an earthquake takes place, and this earthquake shakes the prison, and the doors of that prison open up. And instead of Paul escaping, he stayed there, because in that Bible days, if the prisoner would have escaped, it would mean that the jailer's life would be taken. He would be killed. And so Paul and his missionary team stays, and he has the opportunity to lead that jailer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says that he was saved and he was baptized, and the gospel also penetrated his home, and those in his home were saved and baptized as well. And so this is the beginning of the church at Philippi. We're talking here about the very beginnings of this church. We have a businesswoman from Thyatira. We have a woman that was demon-possessed and God freed her. And we have a Philippian jailer that saw the glorious change in his life when he trusted Christ as his Savior. God did a great work in their lives. And you know, we are here this morning because God did that same work in our lives. He's washed our sins away. He's given us a home in heaven. And he's changed us from the inside out. This is the beginning of the church at Philippi. But not only do I want us to notice the beginning, I also want us to notice, number two, the burden. Notice, if we could, also the burden. As Paul writes to this church, I am amazed of how fast this church gets on board with the things of the Lord. You know, Paul was not a rookie when it came to church planning or pastoring or preaching the gospel. He had hundreds of converts at this point. He had started at least four churches in the region of Galatia. Many more people were sent out because of his influence and his ministry. He was a proven servant of God. He was a choice servant. And there was no doubt that God's hand was upon his life. However, I want us to notice in our text here in Philippians 4 and verse number 14, notice what the Apostle Paul has to say, verse 14. The Bible says, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You know, I find this incredible. I just find this amazing. Paul was sent from the church at Antioch in Acts chapter 13. He had traveled through the Galatian region. He had planted churches in Antioch and Iconium and Derbe. He was already beaten up. He was left for dead. I mean, he was the real deal. He returned to his churches and he gave a report of what God was doing, and he revisited all those churches again that he planted. He went to Philippi and he started a church, and then from Philippi he went to Thessalonica, and now he writes to this church and says, listen, when I came to Macedonia, when I came to Philippi and I planted this church and then I left to Thessalonica, you were the only church that helped me. You were the only church that gave to me. Now, I think that we understand the one principle of life is that it takes money to live. Now, one thing about the psalm that we just read here this morning, Psalm chapter 50, is that we come to realize that God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he also owns the hills, by the way. It all belongs to him. But God wants us to partner with him. God wants us by faith to trust in him. And I think the church at Philippi practiced these ways of giving. I believe that they were a part of it. And we see this in verse number 15, that they gave to the church, to Paul. And the Bible says in verse 16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Paul said, "Listen, when I left and I went to Thessalonica, you gave two times to help me as I preached the gospel." Let's dig deeper into this church. Can we turn, if we could, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as we do a kind of a topical study here on the church at Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 in our Bibles, Paul is writing to a carnal church, a greedy church, a church that only thought about their own needs and their own self. It's the church of Corinth. And he tells us that they were indeed a carnal church. And they're going to have an offering, and this offering is going to be for the needy Christians in Jerusalem. And so the church at Philippi, the Macedonian church, they said, "Of course, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that." But the church at Corinth, they said they were going to be a part of it, but then they never gave anything. And the Apostle Paul uses the church at Philippi to illustrate the attitude of giving. Look what the Bible says in verse number 8 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, what they had, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, what they didn't have. They were willing of themselves." The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that this church, newly planted, newly organized, Acts 16, the Bible says Paul went to Macedonia. In Acts chapter 17, he goes to Thessalonica. No other church helped Paul but this church only. This church had a world evangelism attitude. The Bible says they gave once and again to Paul's necessity. Now notice how Paul was moved by this in verse 17 of our text, if we could look there. The Bible says in verse 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And I'll be honest, I understand that God doesn't need our money, but God wants us to be a part of this thing. I truly believe it, or I wouldn't be preaching this message. And God wants you to be a part of world evangelism. And this is the reason why, because when we join and give through the local church, we are partnering with God in the gospel. And those missionaries that we send out, we are partnering with them in the gospel, and it is fruit to our account. Listen, missionaries don't travel around and raise support. They go on deputation. They don't do that. They don't print prayer cards and, you know, travel from church to church. They don't do that because that's a fast way to make money. It's not a fast way to make money. It's a terrible way to make money. It's time consuming. It's hard on their families. It's a lot of work. But I'll tell you this, the reason why they do that is because they want us to join with them in this thing called world evangelism, and they want us to have fruit to our account in the efforts that they go forward with in preaching the gospel. You know, if you read through the book of Acts, you know that in Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul left the church at Philippi, and he goes to the church at Thessalonica. And the Bible says that when he went to Thessalonica, there he found lewd fellows of a baser sort. I mean, they're not nice people. And they were opposing his gospel message. And the Bible says that Paul was beaten and he was opposed. And he found people there in Thessalonica that were steeped in idolatry. The Bible says that they had turned from their powerless gods. They had turned to the living God from their powerless gods. And as we think about the church at Thessalonica today and the letter, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you know, commentaries, Bible teachers would call the church at Thessalonica the model church They would say, this is the model church. And the Bible says that their faith was spread abroad throughout the world. People were hearing about the faith of the church at Thessalonica. And they had an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now think about this truth for just a moment. Paul came and planted this church in Thessalonica, and this church was reaching people with the gospel. But the church in Philippi, who was praying for Paul, realized it takes money to live. And so they sacrificed, they gave so that Paul could live and that he could preach the gospel. And the Bible says that many people in Thessalonica were saved and trusted Christ as their Savior. And the church at Philippi, at the judgment seat of Christ, is the only church that will receive fruit to their account because they were a part of that. They joined efforts with Paul. See, this gets me excited. And I'm glad I'm a part of a church that puts a premium on missions, that I have an opportunity to give missions dollars to help missionaries preach the gospel all over the world. I can't go to Senegal, but I can send someone on my behalf. I can't go to the Philippines, but I can send someone on my behalf. I can't go to Mexico, but I can send someone on my behalf with the same gospel message. I want us to notice, thirdly, not only the beginning and the burden, but can we think about the blessing? The blessing. It's been a long time since Paul was in prison in Philippi, and now he's in prison in Rome. The circumstances are completely different, and the church at Philippi still loves this man, and they still want to be a part of what God's doing in his life. And so the Bible says that they send a man named Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus goes to Rome, a long journey from Philippi to Rome, and he brings Paul this gift from the church. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. By the way, the only way that Paul could say that God was pleased was because it wasn't Paul that was writing the letter, it was the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God writes here that God was satisfied and pleased with the sacrifice of this church. God said it was an odor of a sweet smell. It was acceptable, an acceptable sacrifice, that it was well pleasing to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to please the Lord. And I want to love what God loves. I want to stand against what God stands against. And God loves giving people. He loves giving people. When we think about the word love, love is an action word. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giving God. And notice what he writes here to this church. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I know this verse is literally taken into context time and time again, but Paul is writing here to a church. The Spirit of God is writing here to a church that's involved in missions. And he's saying, because of your heart, your giving heart, God will supply the needs that you have. God will take care of you. It's a wonderful blessing to know that God will meet our needs. Listen, if we take care of God's business, God will take care of our business. And it's a wonderful blessing to be a part of the program of God. You see, this is God's economy. And I want us to notice verse 15. Would you turn there, Philippians 4. I want you to notice a phrase here in our Bible. I've underlined it in my Bible because it's so important to this idea that I'm preaching here this morning. The Bible says in Philippians 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me, look at this, as concerning giving and receiving. The reality is we think, well, we give to missions, we're just giving. No, we're not just giving, we're receiving. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But we are blessed because of our part in God's program. Giving and receiving is a spiritual program. Give, and it shall be given unto you. One man said, when I take a shovel full and I give it to God, God takes a shovel full and gives it back, but God's shovel is bigger than my shovel. He blesses us because of our involvement. And this takes faith. This takes faith. Now listen, you don't have to give. No one's making you give. But I'm encouraging you to give to our missions program so that you can be blessed and that you can have fruit to your account. I heard the story one morning. An American soldier was driving his Jeep through the war-torn streets of London. And as he turned a corner, he spied a little boy who had his face pressed up against a window, a pastry shop window, and he was watching them make the donuts. He stopped his Jeep. He got out of his Jeep, and he walked over, and he walked inside of that little shop. And there he ordered a dozen donuts. And he left the store, and then he looked at that little boy, and he took those 12 donuts, and he said, "Here, son, these are for you." Well, that little boy's eyes just got huge. He couldn't believe it. And the soldier, he said his goodbyes, and he walked away, and he got on his Jeep. And as he was about to drive away from that Jeep, he felt a tug on his sleeve of his coat. And that little boy is looking up at that soldier, and his eyes are huge. And he says to that soldier, he says, "Mister, are you God? And you are never more like God when you give. The Bible says, for God so loved that he gave." God, help us today to be a part of what God is doing. It's a spiritual program, giving and receiving. This church at Philippi didn't have a lot. They didn't have anything, but they gave something for world evangelism. God, help us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done. And we're grateful for the opportunities that you give. We're grateful for a church that is burdened for world evangelism. And Lord, I pray you would help me to grow my faith to even give more. We're grateful for the opportunity, Lord, that we have to pray for our missionaries. And I think, Lord, this morning of all of our missionaries, all scattered around the world, that are faithfully preaching, whether they already